And joining us now, we have the commissioner of the LPGA Tour, Mr. Mike Wan. Mike, what's going on?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Man, we're doing awesome. I got a little football weekend here in Charlotte. You know, you've got the first event of the season coming up shortly in the Bahamas. Are you doing a little pre-tournament scouting in the Bahamas yet?
No, I can't pull that off. Actually, I'm on a putting green about to tee off because I realize I got two more weeks of free time, and then it all comes to a halt.
So you're not even working on your tan to get ready for the Bahamas?
Yeah, he is. He's playing golf in shorts, probably.
I gave up on a long time ago.
So I'm looking at the schedule, and obviously it shapes up, and everything that you have had in mind and your vision of what this tour could become is really beginning to come to fruition, and you deserve a tremendous amount of credit. I know you don't like to take it, but you deserve a tremendous amount of credit for the resurgence of the tour. As you look at this schedule and the way it shakes out, you know, can we anticipate seeing some new players rise to the top in the early part of the season, or do you think we're going to see it be chalk at least early on?
Well, normally I would say no, but last year kind of blew all my expectations of how long it takes to win out here. Usually I go to rookie orientation class and I tell the players, stop having objectives of winning in your first year. Just understand the tour, get used to this life, you know, understand the courses. But I think six of our rookies from last year finished in the top 25 in the money list. We had rookies winning all over the place. And so I don't know what to expect anymore in terms of how quick people start winning. This is an Olympic year, so you're gonna actually qualify for the Olympics between now and the Rico Women's British in July. So you got six more months to get onto the Olympic agenda and play for your country. So I know from talking to big name players, this isn't going to be one of those shake the rust off, get started kind of seasons. People are going to come out firing from the beginning because a plan for country will only come around every 4 years.
Yeah, and from all I can tell, I mean, players are really excited about it. Some of our players who come here to Charlotte in the Symetra Tour, I know about, I think, two or three who have changed citizenship to improve their chance of making the Olympic team, which I think is amazing. The ladies seem really excited. Am I misreading this?
No, I think you got it 100% right. I mean, we use the term chance of a lifetime a lot in sports, but this is truly a chance of a lifetime, and I think the athletes get that. Most of these women, you know, grew up playing golf on ranges, and the one dream they never had was playing in the Olympics. Mm. And so when this became a reality 5-6 years ago, all of them started thinking about the what-ifs. And, you know, if you don't make it on the 16 team, you know, your next opportunity is Japan in 20. So I think a lot of them realize that they got to go. And it's exciting to just hear people talking about it on the ranges and shuttle buses and airports over the last few years. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's going to be an exciting race, not only to get to Rio, but then what happens at Rio.
All right, so scanning through the schedule, it looks like there are three new events. How important is it to be able to get into some of these markets that maybe you haven't been in a while?
Well, you know, it's strange. I don't really circle markets or regions. I know a lot of both fans and media don't like that. But the reality of it is, you know, I play with it where I can best benefit the check writers business. So, you know, when I first started talking to Chicago Mercantile Exchange, I thought we were working on a Chicago business, but we actually play it in Naples. When I started working with HSBC, I was working on a bank in London, and we play the event in Singapore. So at the end of the day, if you want to have a strong schedule and you want it to stay strong for a long, long time, you got to make sure that you're delivering for the guy writing the big check. So we want to put on great events. We want to continue to have 175 countries watch us every time we tee it up. But where we play is a lot more driven by the actual title sponsor than by the commissioner.
And do you think we've reached the proper number of events, or could there be a tolerance for more?
I think we're pretty close. I mean, there might be room for one or two more. That would probably require us to start the season even earlier, which means the commissioner gets two less weeks of off season, which is hard to stomach. But I mean, the bottom line is, I think in order for us to deliver great fields week in and week out, in order for us to continue to deliver 175 countries of television, 34, 35 events a year, if you want an off season, and my players do, is really the right number. We're at 34 now. I think there might be room for one. But I like the fact that over the last year or so, we've been focused on the events we have. My first 4 or 5 years on the job, we were really focused on adding events we didn't have. It's nice to be able to spend 90% of your time on the customers you have versus focusing on the business you don't have.
Yeah, well, and I want to bring you back in a minute to the rookie orientation and what your expectations are for some of those players, both, you know, in competition and outside. But you've got a veteran right now, Stacey Lewis, who hasn't won on the tour in a while. I mean, she had the Canadian last year. But and in terms of marketability and being an American player, and she's got KPMG, Mizuno, Antigua and Marathon. She's one of the faces of golf, especially in this country. How important is it to see her or any individual player get back on track?
Yeah, you know, when I started in 2010, I think we probably had one American in the top 20 in the world rankings. There's probably five or six now. You know, the good news is I had nothing to do with that, but there's really been a resurgence of American strength at the top of the world rankings. Stacy's a great example. Lexi Thompson is just a couple of decimal points behind Stacy at number four in the world. I'm pretty sure we'll have four athletes representing the U.S. in the Olympics. I think only the U.S. and Korea will probably have that statement. And yeah, if you look at, you know, this is no surprise, but if you look at Stacy's bag and on her hat and everything else, almost everything on her, we've turned into a title sponsor of a tournament. And that's what big time athletes do. I mean, they drive business to the tour. And then when they get excited about representing Stacy, they start asking about how much more can we do. So KPMG is a title sponsor, and Pure Silk's a title sponsor, and Marathon title sponsor, Manulife, all that stuff is somewhere on her shirt or hat or bag, and it's now a title sponsor in an event we play.
Yeah, you know, Mike, from a media perspective, it seems like that we always want to categorize tours. You know, you look at the PGA Tour, you know, the big story now is the big three. You got Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, and Rory McIlroy, where, you know, in the last couple of years, without Tiger really being at the top of his game, it seemed like we were desperate for that. On the LPGA Tour, it kind of almost seems the other way around, where we have so many different people winning, you know, having a chance to win tournaments and winning tournaments, that it makes it, you know, a story in itself. Is that kind of how you feel? Is that it goes either way, and if you're kind of in the middle, you're stuck sometimes?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We went through our long period of time with the number one, too, whether it was Annika or Lorena or Yanni, you know, where they just looked like they were never going to relinquish the number one spot in the world. The last couple of years, it's really bounced around. And I got to tell you, from a pure marketing and strength of the tour perspective, it's much better to be talking about the big three, big four, or big five than the big one. Sometimes when it's just the big one, if that person takes a week off, it's almost a letdown, you know, from a tournament perspective or a media. Also, it just brings regions into play. You know, in my world, where Stacy Lewis is battling Envy Park, who's battling Lydia Ko, who's battling Shen Shen Feng, I get Korea, China, the U.S., New Zealand, every week, you know, tuning in with big numbers, because they're all at the top of the world ranking. So it's an exciting time. I've said many times, in women's golf, I always use the term borderless. I mean, there's just no borders anymore. I mean, we got players coming from all over the world. We've got sponsors from all over the world, and we're televised all over the world. And that's really what's different about the LPGA than 20 years ago, is the world's watching. We still do hometown events. We still travel around and play pro-ams and get involved with the community. But now we put on hometown events and let the whole world watch.
Well, we're excited to be joined this morning by LPGA Commissioner Mike Wann. And Mike, when you come out of rookie orientation, you've obviously now had some conversations, access, and you've gotten in front of a bunch of new players, including 10 who came through the Symetra Tour, which we, of course, in Charlotte have a vested interest in.
Is the
Symetra Tour continuing to do what you envision it to do, and how do you see it continuing to grow?
Yeah, if I was being honest with you, from 10, 11, and 12, I really didn't spend a lot of time on the Symetra Tour. I was brand new to the LPGA Tour. I think we really needed to spend some time focused on that. But in the last 3 years, we really started to really attack the Symetra Tour from every angle. We've gone from 15 events to 23 events. We've more than doubled the purses. We've gone from having three people qualify for the LPGA Tour to 10. And it's just really made a difference. We used to do about 90% of our rookie training when rookies were on tour in their first year. Now we do about 90% of player training at the Symetra Tour. So we're getting players more ready to be more successful faster. And it's showing up. That's why these players are showing up in the first couple of weeks. They're thinking about winning, not competing. Whether that's nutrition or fitness or how to handle travel, hiring and firing caddies and agents, you know, all of that stuff, media days, all of that training goes on now at the Symetra Tour level.
You know, has there been any conversation? I mean, you did mention how the Symetra Tour has been growing and that the numbers of people that qualify from one tour to the next grow. Has there been any conversation to maybe expand that number a few?
Well, probably not expand the direct link, but one of the conversations we've been having is, you know, is the person who's ninth on the Symetra Tour better or worse than the person who's 104 on the LPGA money list? Everyone's got a point of view on that, depending on what player you follow. But long term, we're looking at, you know, would there be a better situation where a few people like today would qualify right off the Symetra Tour, but maybe then the next 25 or 30 from Symetra would play against the last 25 or 30 on the LPGA Tour and divide out future LPGA cards that way over a course of a 3 or 4 tournament series, where you'd really sort of bring people that are at the top of the Symetra Tour and people that have struggled on the LPGA Tour and determine future cards for the next season on head-to-head competition. It'd be good for the players. It'd be good fan fodder. And I think we'd have a fairer way to determine, you know, players that are, you know, 130 to 160 on our priority list.
Yeah, I mean, opening up the qualification list is, well, you could find yourself like on the men's side where there are too many new players coming in and not enough guys cycling out on the back end with, you know, between exemptions and
medical
and all that stuff. You there's no room. So these new players, these 50 to 60 new players on the PGA Tour, have a hard time getting into any events.
Yeah, less of an issue on the LPGA Tour, given the fact that we don't, you know, our season is shorter in 35 events versus, you know, 49 or however many they play. And our season almost builds itself into we don't call it the playoffs, but essentially after September, we're playing in limited field events in Asia for big money. I mean, limited field, no cut, $2 million and higher, right, versus huge TV draws, and we really play through Asia. And to get into that world, you got to kind of finish in the top 70 or 75 on the money list through the rest of the season. So if players aren't doing that on a regular basis, it kind of creates its own cycle.
Well, and as we've watched here in Charlotte, the Symetra Tour, the competition's gotten better, the players are getting better. They're, you know, the whole thing is just improving, and I think, you know, having a goal of having, you know, many more of the LPGA Tour players have to sort of come through what we're doing here is fantastic. But I'm not sure, and I'm not allowed to play favorites, but I'm not sure I've seen a player come through our tour and really just breeze through for a short time who seems more ready for the LPGA Tour than Annie Park. Am I smoking some crazy stuff?
No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, I didn't know Annie Park until her second win on the Symetra Tour, and then followed her a couple times, met her through rookie orientation. She's now been at a couple other orientations through us, and she kind of reminds me a little bit of a Lydia Ko or an Allison Lee, meaning I know she's good, she knows she's good, but just doesn't seem to stress about much. You know, I guess it's easy to not stress when you're firing 65s on a regular basis, but she just kind of keeps it all in perspective, kind of laughs her way through. I've said many times, you know, Lydia Ko, I don't know what at the end of her life what she's going to die of, but I can promise you it won't be stress, because she just doesn't, she doesn't get wigged out. She remembers it's just golf, and at the end of the day, somebody's paying you to play a game you love. And Annie's got that same kind of mentality of, while she's beating you by 10 strokes, she just seems to be having fun.
All right, well, speaking of not stressing on the golf course, what do you expect out of your game today?
I expect range. I'm sort of Sybil on the golf course. I could throw any personality at you at any given time. But off-season is good for me. I take lessons with one of our teaching club professional members here. And so she always says about February 1st, see you in November. So I go, I take a bunch of lessons for 2 months, get my game really good, and then I go on what I call the pro-am circuit for 9 months, where you don't really, really pay much attention. You're just having fun with folks, and then come back in November and try to find it again.
It's always interesting, isn't it? That, you know, you just about the time that you're feeling you're getting really good, then the clubs kind of disappear for a while, don't they?
That's exactly right. In my case, just about the time I feel like I got it done, I start flying to Asia, and my 50-year-old back reminds me that I'm not as young as I thought I was.
Well, Mike, man, we appreciate you coming on with us. We hope we have a great season on the LPGA this year. We look forward to the Olympics and seeing who's qualifying, and that's going to be interesting in itself, and it should be fun to watch.
Well, thanks for covering us, guys. We appreciate it.